he had an emergency. He had to go to visit his mom. Seems like it's timing that she will depart and be with the Lord. So he's taking a week off from Florida. He's in Colorado. And let's just keep him in our prayers, and also his mom, okay? That the Lord's will be done, amen? Why don't we just pray for him, amen? Greg, will you please pray for Pastor and his family? Pastor Ron.
Still on? Okay. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful for our pastor and his family. We ask your blessing upon them. Lord, we know this is a difficult time for him as his mother is near the end of her life and going home to be with the Lord. We know that it's a tough time for anybody, no matter how you, even though you know where she's going, it still is a heartbreak to miss a loved one. We ask your blessing upon him and upon his father and upon their family. Give them mercies. We just give you the praise and glory and honor. Thank you. We trust in you for everything through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Okay, somebody was sharing with me during the break a testimony, and I want to call Patricia. I know she didn't want to. She just wanted to tell to me, but it was so edifying, the testimony. That will you come, please, Patricia, and share us this beautiful testimony? Let's see. Oh my Lord, it's okay.
It's not a good idea to open your mouth in church because then you have to come up to the front like this. But anyway, no, I wanted to share my aunt's testimony. She's 92 years old. And she's got leaky heart valves, both sides. And when she went to the doctor this past week, the doctor said one of her valves is actually healing. And that's like medically impossible. It's never happened in this doctor's career. She said, I have no explanation for you, but my aunt is a prayer warrior. She prays like 2 hours every morning, 2 hours every night. And she's got a really cheerful heart. And I think of that verse that says, a cheerful heart does good like medicine. And I just thanking God for that miracle, because when we were singing that song about he's the God of miracles, so yeah.
Thank you so much. Wow. You did great, Patricia. Hallelujah. So I always ask for your patience when I preach, because sometimes I make mistakes. I tell some of my friends that they can correct me. So you can correct me, you, because it will enrich me. Amen? It's not easy when you learn another language, because just for example, in Spanish, when we read a word, the vowels are always the same, right? We read E, A, O, it's always the same. So if you want to say, for example, the sea, the ocean, right? How do you write that? The sea, how do you write? S-E-A. Now, what about if you put an N at the end? Oh, see? It changed, right? So for the Spanish-speaking people, it's very hard because now it's C, later it's Sean. And I remember 15 years ago, I went to a church in Jacksonville, Florida. And the pastor, they were so nice with me. They were supporting my ministry in Guatemala. So I went to visit them, and his name was Sean. But you know how I tell him? Hello, Pastor Sin. Until I realized that I made a big mistake. So he needed to tell me, I'm redeemed by the grace of the Lord. So, you know, I'm still learning. So thank you for your patience. Today we're going to be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12. And I ask three persons if they can come up and help me. I think who has the first verses from, I think it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, right? Will you please read it for me?
But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Amen. Thank you. And I will ask Lori, bless you.
Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice.
Amen. Thank you, my brother Greg.
For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that I will, in all boldness, Christ will ever now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether in life, whether in death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in my flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is very much better yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with joy and faith, so that your pride in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of my coming to you again. Sorry, but the reading's a little bit small for me.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning. I pray that you use me for your glory, for your honor, that I can share your heart, your thoughts. And thank you, Father, for this beautiful family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The message that I have today is my crisis, his platform. Paul is in his last days. He is in jail. And he's writing from jail. I think he's experienced some dark moments as some of us we experience in lives. But the heart, one of the hearts of his message in the book of Philippians is rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And the other message is Christ is my life. I live for Christ. You will find that the heart of the book of Philippians. Now, how this man that is in jail, in one of his darkest hours, how this man can write rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. It's not easy when you are in a trial, when you're in a test, when you are in your darkest hours. But here, there's this man writing. I think he understood that pain has a purpose in life. Because if we suffer just because of suffering, it's not going to work. But when we can see a purpose in our suffering, everything changes. Sometimes it's the glasses, it's that we don't see the circumstances in our life with the right glasses. And that's what we need to see. Sometimes we don't realize the pain that we're facing. God wants to do something in our lives. I remember when I was working with an organization from Jacksonville, Florida, in Guatemala. I was working there. I was recently married with my wife. I think I was 23 years old. And all the missionaries, they were from Jacksonville, Florida. They were from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and many parts of Colorado, Arkansas. And suddenly they said, we're going to close. We're going to close the organization, and we're going to leave. And, you know, I ended up with no salary, no nothing, and with no organization and no friends. I'm a Peruvian, and I was a missionary in Guatemala, where my wife is, her country. And they left. I was recently married, and they left. So I started my music ministry when they left. I thought, I think this is what I'm going to do. So I started my music ministry. I began to travel in Guatemala. I will tell you that I traveled the whole Guatemala preaching the gospel and also singing and doing concerts all over Guatemala. And suddenly, with my wife, we began to guide people for the Lord. We began to share the gospel. And suddenly, we had like 24 people in our house that they received the Lord. Many children. I have a picture that they sent me the other day. I went with a lot of children, a lot of parents there, all of them one for the Lord. And so I asked one person, well, I don't know what to do. And she told me, why don't we plant a church? So we planted a church, and I had my praise and worship ministry. But the first year when I planted the church, it was very hard. I was starting my family. My daughter was just recently born, and I had this church that I didn't know how to lead. And all my friends, they left. The organization closed. And that year was hard for me. I think it was year 1992. It was very hard. But after 4 years, because I remember that year, 4 years later, I wrote a song. And the song was in retrospective, is how you say it, of that moment. I went to the piano, and I began to think in that year. And I wrote a song called Mountain After Mountain. But the end of the song, it was victory. The end of the song, it was hope. The end of the song was, it was a story that I wrote. And I remember that I began to sing my song in my concerts. And when I just went to the piano, the people were touched by God when I sang that song that is a story of my life. And I thought, I need to record that song. So I recorded with the best musicians of Guatemala of one very tough year, mountain after mountain. And I recorded the song. And I put it in the radio, and the song became number one. And they gave me a Guatemalan reward as the best songwriter of the year for 2 years in a row. And but the message is not the award. The message is this, that God can use my darkest hours to bless me if I see things in perspective. I was not seeing that year. Only at the end I saw, oh, thank you, Lord, for your miracle. But when you are in the middle of a crisis, you don't see sometimes things with the right perspective. But Paul is different. I could see it that after 6 years, when I wrote the song, and when I saw the blessing, because the award was the blessing, but with that song I could minister the whole country. Suddenly the whole country knew me. And I got invitations and I could travel the whole country. And my mission as a missionary, it was easy. Because I could go to every place and minister to them. Because my crisis is his platform. My crisis is his platform. When pain has a purpose, it's when you see Christ in every detail. If you don't put Christ in those details, suffering is going to be hard. But you have to put, let me see if I have my glasses here. Yes. I'm sorry. Today, we're having a lot of issues, right? Okay. You got to put the right glasses. Yeah, you're so handsome, so beautiful. You have to put the right glasses, Christ. You have to see your pain through Christ's eyes. What is he doing in your life? What is he doing in your heart? How is this changing your heart? Probably it's the Lord, your crisis the Lord is using to change your heart so you can learn something. Probably your crisis the Lord is using so you can know who really are your friends. You never know how the Lord is going to use if you put Christ in the middle. And this is what happened to Paul. So the first verse 12, chapter 1, Philippians, it says, I want you to know, brother, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What has happened to me? Oh, how many of us we get better for the things that happened to us? But Paul is saying, what happened to me, the Lord used my circumstances so the gospel is advancing. Amen? Why? Because he put Christ in his suffering. And that's the problem when we are suffering, when we're having pain, when we're in our darkest hour, we don't see things with the right glasses. And we have to put Christ. Now he's saying the gospel is advancing. And he's saying it has become known, verse 12, it has become known through the whole imperial guard. So even the authorities began to hear the gospel. All the soldiers, the governors, the palace, every people in authority. Paul was in jail. He had to go to the court, and everybody was hearing Paul's testimony. And he was saying, hey, I'm here in jail, not because I did something wrong, but I'm here because of my faith in Jesus Christ. So the judge, the soldiers, the people in the palace, the people in the jail, they were hearing the gospel. He was putting Christ in the middle of his suffering. And he was saying, and later he said, not only the whole imperial guard, but he said, to all the rest, and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And later he said, and most of the brothers, having become confident, verse 14, and most of the brothers having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's life, his darkest time, he's encouraging that the gospel is advancing. I'm testifying to the imperial guard. And even the Christians are being encouraged by me that now that I'm preaching Jesus Christ in jail, now they are free outside, they are more encouraged to share the gospel. So my life, my crisis in the middle, I can rejoice because Christ is in the middle. Can you say amen? Now, let's go to verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry. Is how you read it? Rivalry. but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. To live is Christ, yes, I will rejoice. That's the secret. My life is Christ. I'm not gonna live for this suffering. My life is Christ. I can put Christ in the middle of my crisis, and I will rejoice. Because even that I'm suffering, the Lord is doing something. Amen? The Lord is doing something. You know, sometimes we don't understand, and we don't rejoice because we don't see that the Lord is doing. There's a verse in a book of Psalms that it says that the feet of the Lord are in the sea, but nobody can see it. You know, sometimes when you're in a theater and you have to act, you have to be an actor or you have to sing. In the theater, at the backstage, the people, they are doing their makeup, right? They are preparing. They are, they're, you know, warming up their voice, you know, for singing that classical music. And you don't know what is happening in that backstage. That's how you call it, backstage? You don't know. You cannot see. You only can see when they go out and they perform. But you don't see in the backstage. This is the way with God. You don't see what he's doing for you in the backstage. So you only see, you and me, we only see our pain. But Christ is doing things in the backstage for you that you don't see. Amen. So now he is saying, well, people, I'm here and people is preaching outside and they're preaching for many reasons. I took a note, the reasons why people preach Jesus Christ. And I found out here in those verses, verse 15, Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18, I found out 8 reasons why people preach the gospel. Number one is envy. Some people preach because envy. Others preach for rivalry. Others from goodwill. Others out of love. Others selfish ambitions. Others not sincerely. Others in pretense. But others in truth. So, when we see preachers, not everybody preaches Christ in love. There are some people that they preach Christ for self-ambition. And others, they preach Christ not sincerely. And Paul, he could see that. See, I'm here, and I'm hearing these people, and I'm hearing these false apostles, and I'm hearing this movement of preaching. And probably he got some burden because of that. As you and I probably have that burden, right? But at the end, he realized, I'm going to put Christ in the middle of this doctrinal thing that I'm facing inside, that I'm mad because of these false teachers. But he said, you know what? Even if people preach because of envy or because of selfish ambition, Christ is being preached. I'm going to put Christ in the middle. Because, you know, some people, they receive Christ in a very bad atmosphere, church, very bad churches. And sometimes they realize that this is not the right place to be. So they go out from those churches. So Paul came to that conclusion. I'm going to suffer too much because I'm going to put Christ in this. Christ is being preached. That's the important thing. And if those people are from God, if those people, they really want to seek the truth, they will be out of those places. Because they are hunger for the truth. Amen. 20 years ago, I was invited to many ministries to share the word of God, to sing, and I went to a church in New Jersey. It was a Hispanic church in New Jersey. After I preached, after I sing, the pastor, he was from a Latin country, the pastor came to me and he told me, "Hey, Roger, I offered you a job. I want you to be the worship leader of our ministry. You will be like the worship ministry of kind of like five churches. You will oversee five churches." So I told him, well, let me pray about it. It was 20 years ago. And he offered me a salary, and I said, you know, it's for me, it's very, that salary coming to New Jersey is not good, because that's, I am more blessed in my country than that. So to come to USA, it's not going to be good. And I have three kids, and some of them, they're going for college. And so he told me, okay, I'm going to give you this, but I will give you an upgrade when you come. So I talked to my wife. We have many hopes. And we thought, okay, we're going to minister like the five between the five churches, there were kind of like 1,000 people. The main church was 400. But when we put together, every 3 months, we put together all the churches, it was kind of like 1,000 people. And so we moved with my wife, with my family. And the moment that I put my feet in his car, that pastor changed with me. When I came from the airport, he changed. He changed his face, the way he was, you know, talking to me was different. I felt something different. My wife and my kids, they were preparing for coming next week. He said, something is wrong. And he told me, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And he was so different. Because when you come here, when they bring you here, I came with a religious visa, like religious worker. And you only can work with that organization, because they're bringing you. When I came 3 years ago, I came as a legal resident. I can do whatever I want now. I'm free to do God's will. Amen? But when I came with them, if you want to be legal, you have to stay with them. So I thought, okay, he's changing. What do I do? I never was in that position. I was always kind of like an entrepreneur. Right now, somebody's treating me very bad. And I didn't say nothing to my wife, because they were so excited. We sold all of our things. And my wife came. So the first week, when I had my paycheck, the first week, he told me, we're going to divide your salary. Your wife has to work. So he divided my salary. So I called my lawyer, you know. And in our countries, we don't know too much of rights. Like, you Americans, guys, you know more than us. You're like, this is my right, you know. I'm going to call my lawyer. This is the way you do. You know, we are conquered by the Spanish people. And so the people in their country, they're more like, you know, they bow their heads when they are oppressed. That's the reason there is so much corruption. But probably I was an Indian in the past. I was a leader, probably. I don't know. Or my ancestors. So I said to my wife, I need to call my lawyer. This is right. You know? And I called and said, hey, they're making my wife work. And my wife legally cannot work until I am a legal resident. Because in that time, when they bring you here as a religious worker, the only person that can work is the guy, the person who came to was hired. Your wife cannot work. She has to do another process. So he part my salary, half, I said, this is not wrong. I said, and I want to live in that neighborhood. No, you cannot live in that neighborhood. You have to live in this neighborhood. Many things were wrong. And I began to see how the people in that church, even though it was 1,000, they were oppressed. They were abused. In many ways, in many ways. And my wife came like 3-4 days later, and it was very hard. And after 2 months, when I saw that was like a Nazi camps, the way they treat people spiritually, those ghettos. When I saw how they treat people, and I saw where I brought my family, to be honest, 2 months later, I had a heart attack. And I was 36 years. Because I thought, where did I bring my family? You know, where is this empire? What did I did? You know? And I spoke with the pastor after a month. And I said, I have seen the way you treat people and the way your wife treats people. I told him, I think, because they had pastors, and they hired pastors. It's very sad. Probably I will not tell this, but it's very sad the way they treat other pastors that who helped them. And I told him, if you continue to treat people like this, they're gonna leave you. People will not. They will not put up with you more than 2 years. He says, this is wrong. I told him 2 times. And I said to my wife, after a year we were there and we left. We came back to our country. And we have a 5 years visa to be here. But I said, no, we need to go back. And we went back. It was 20 years ago in New Jersey. I had a heart attack. We have to start all over again. But Christ was in the midst of this, because we have to see every suffering with the eyes of Jesus Christ. And it was not easy. After the heart attack, my blood pressure went up. I was more intense. I could feel like sometimes more anger. I couldn't sleep. Like if I heard a noise, even taking a nap, if I heard a noise, oh my Lord, my nerves were like this. I still have a wife. She had to be very patient with me during those years, because my character changed a lot, my personality. I was sick due to the heart attack. It was not easy. Took me some years to recover. But I learned to be happier. I learned to be happier. And what can I learn from this suffering if I put Christ here? As Paul said, I'm in jail, but the gospel is advancing. I'm in jail, but the imperial guard, they are hearing the gospel. I'm in jail, but all of them heard about Christ. I'm in jail, that even the people from outside are being encouraged due to my circumstances. Christ is in the middle of this. So one of the hardest things that I heard when I heard my wife, she told me, I came with so much love to serve the Lord, but she told me they took my innocence. When I saw the innocence of serving God, she told me, when I saw how they treat us, how they treat the other people, It was hard. It was hard, but Christ was in it. And we had to start all over again. And praise God we could start again. After when we went to Guatemala, all of our children, they received scholarships to be in American colleges. All of the three. They started here. So we were, even though we were in another country, the Lord was doing his job. My crisis, his platform. Amen? My crisis, his platform. Okay. How are we doing with time? Yes, we're good. Okay. Point number three. Paul says, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. It's very interesting how we can hear an apostle. Well, before I said this, I just want to tell you that we feel so blessed in this family. I feel so much peace in Calvary Chapel with our pastor, Ron, with Ruth, with you. We feel the love of Christ. We feel the joy of Christ. We feel sincerity. We feel love. We feel goodwill. And that is the presence of the Lord in the midst of us. We're a blessed church by his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul is putting in a place that he doesn't know what to choose. He said, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Many of us, we are in the same position today. He is in jail and he's thinking, am I going to die? Or do I have more years? I don't know. But I don't know what to choose. Probably I'm going to die here in jail. Or probably I will be free. So he began to write, and these written letters began to explain him something. Verse 19, Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, he says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. So Paul began to say, oh, I believe in the power of prayers. You're praying for me, and I know that I will be free. Now, because Paul believes in the will of God and the sovereignty of God, in verse 20 he says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, know as always, Christ will be honoring my body, whether by life or by death. Are you with me? I think the way that Paul sees prayer is very wise, because he's not forcing God to live. Say, thank you for your prayers. I know that you're praying for me. And because of your prayers, I can be free. Thank you. But however, I live or die, he will be glorified. So, when we pray for miracles, we pray for miracles, but there is a space in our heart that anything that can happen, Christ will be glorified. You know what I mean? I remember to hear a prayer. Somebody was praying for healing. I saw this in a video. It was recently. He said, Father, I pray for this healing, and I don't receive a no for this prayer. That's the way these people was praying for a miracle. But Paul is not praying that way. He's saying, thank you for your prayers. You're praying for me, I will be free. But however, I will die or I will live. Christ will be glorified. So he guards a space in his heart for God's sovereignty will, that he can do whatever he wants. But we pray because we don't know. Only God knows. And when we pray with faith. Amen. So, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet will I shall choose, I cannot tell." See? I don't know. I don't know if I want to stay or if I want to live. Because if I live from this earth, I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with the Lord. But if I stay, you're going to be blessed. Because I can teach you. I can visit you. I don't know what to do. Verse 23. "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with who? With Christ. For that is far better." Okay, right now, there's some people, they believe that when we die, we sleep, right? I think the way Paul is watching the death is, I die, I'm with Christ. That's the way he sees it. Jesus Christ, remember, he said, "I'm not, God is not God of death. Moses is with the Lord. The prophets are with the Lord." That's the way Paul saw it. Verse 24. "But to remain the flesh is more" what? "Necessary on your account. Convinced of this," repeat with me, "convinced of this. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." Wow. Now he understands something that is very important. He understands that the people still need him. So he gets a conclusion. I think I haven't finished. I think you still need me. So when you are necessary, when somebody needs you, you still have a lot of way to go. For that reason, no matter your age, some people need you. They need your prayers. They need your wisdom. They need your hugs. Probably are your grandchildren, but they still need you. Probably are your children. Probably is your church. Probably is a ministry. Probably is your job. Probably is your wife. Probably is your friend. Probably is your community. When you are needed, I think sometimes you have more time because you are a blessing for others. And I know that many of you are a blessing for so many people. And the Lord knows. So Paul say, "I want to be with Christ, but I am understanding that these people still need me. And I know because they need me, I still have time." Hallelujah. Because there will be a time when you say, "I'm done." Right? "I don't want to cook for nobody." Some people, they are done before. Right? "I'm done. I don't want to visit no. I'm done in this life." You know it. But when you are still doing something for the Lord, giving hope, sharing the gospel, praying for somebody, doing something little for other people, the people need you. The people need you. So convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for the progress and the joy in the faith. So sometimes in life, we are redirected, but not stop it. Because the Lord changed our direction. Things can happen to us, but Christ needs to be in the middle of the circumstances. Amen? And we need to see everything through God's perspective. Why don't we just pray? I feel to pray, and I will ask some people. This is going to be open. I'm going to turn. Let me see. Praise God. Yes. there are some people that pray today that they are in pain. Circumstances, life's struggles has knocked them out. And they need our prayers. Amen? God is building their character, testing their hearts. But we need to pray for peace, for hope, for grace during this time. And we need to pray that also we can see Christ. Because my crisis is his platform. And I want to tell you, what you're happening right now, any pain that you're having right now, God can use it for a purpose, for his glory, for his honor. Amen? Why don't we raise, please, and let's have a prayer. I'm going to start praying, and later somebody wants me to pray for the body of believers. People need prayer, and you can come and please. Father, my crisis, your platform. My crisis is not my crisis only. Help me, Father, to see you during this pain, during this sickness, during this family crisis, during this financial crisis. Help me to see you in the midst of this. Not only the pain, not only the crisis, but Christ in it, what you are doing. Thank you, Father God. Somebody wants to pray for the body of believers. Just raise your voice or come up here. People need prayer.